emergency podcast.
You can't even say it without laughing. Emergency podcast. Blake Griffin. That's what he's
Blake Griffin has formally been bought out. We have now traveled back to 2015 when Blake Griffin was a top 10 player and how he's going to change the Warriors. Now, as of right now, 10:45 a.m. Friday morning, Blake Griffin has not picked his team. Sources say the Lakers, Clippers, Warriors, Nets, Celtics are all interested, and Chams is reporting that the Nets are the front runner. Let's start on this, Andy. If the Warriors were able to get Blake Griffin, would you want him?
The fit doesn't work, but would I want him? Yeah. I mean, like, it's fun. Like, who, like, to me, who is he really taking minutes away from?
Jeremy Pascal.
Eric Pascal. Like, for me, the fit is that Blake Griffin is the undersized five, right? So he is Eric Pascal. That's like literally that's what he'd be doing. Now, would he want to do that? Probably not. That's why it seems like he may not want to sign with the Warriors. But like, to me, it's that's the perfect fit. Let him play 15 minutes a game as the backup five and just do whatever he wants. Like, Eric Pascal is out here doing whatever he wants, Sam. I'd rather have Blake Griffin out there. And Eric Pascal, to me, at this point, is not someone that I care about playing. Like, his development, like, not that important because he's probably not going to be that good.
I'm going to throw a counter into this one. I don't think the Warriors are competing for a title this year. Actually, I don't think. I know. Short of a big trade.
They've also told us. Yes, they've also told us repeatedly.
It's not what this year is about.
Yeah.
So I'm more interested in the development. We harped on this on last night's post-game podcast that we're kind of disappointed in the development of Wiseman, Pascal, Poole.
Yep.
And I'm not throwing blame at one specific person because we're not quite sure. I mean, quite frankly, neither you or I are in the practices. No one's in the practice because of the pandemic, right? But I haven't really seen any development from any of the guys. It's been tangible. The last thing I want is to throw a 32-year-old ring chaser in there just to further stunt James Wiseman's development. Basically, I would like, if they traded Wiseman in the pick and got, I don't know, Bradley Beal, and it was like, all of a sudden, it's like, all right, we're all in. Then I want players like Blake Griffin, where it's like ring chasing veterans.
Yeah. I mean, that's the correct take, I think. My take is more of like, it'd just be fun to see Blake Griffin on this team. Like, if to me, it's like, it's not like, you know, if it was the KD team, right? And then it would have been like, no, I'm good. He doesn't fit. Like, why would you want him there? It's like DeMarcus Cousins, right? It was a cool name, but not really a great fit, even though he was kind of washed up and hurt. With Blake Griffin, kind of the same thing. It's like, probably not a good fit. I don't know if I want him. But with this team this year, it's more like, he'd be fun. But half the time we're frustrated watching the games anyway. You might as well want something fun. Maybe Blake's frustrated. I think a cool point with this is kind of some of these guys like Blake Griffin are kind of like dinosaurs of the NBA. I kind of see like Kevin Love and being the same thing. Like these kind of undersized-ish bigs that can only play the five but don't really play defense. They're just not NBA players anymore. Like, you'd rather have like even a freaking JaVale McGee, because at least he'd rim run. He doesn't need the ball. He doesn't have to
function. Or they're just like bit part players. They're like what Pascal is this year. It's like, all right, we got a matchup. We just want him to take advantage of the matchup and score. Yeah. But like on other nights, you're like, yeah, you're probably not playing tonight, you know?
Which is crazy because Blake Griffin was so good. But even at his peak, was he, you said top 10 player, but like, was he a player that you would want? Like, was he a player that could lead you to a title or an NBA finals? Like, I don't know. Even at his peak.
No, but he really peaked. It's worth noting he peaked at 24-25. So God. If the injuries never happened, maybe he gets there. Like the way he was playing at that level, no, he wasn't good enough defensively. But like, I could make a case, you know, if he never had the knee issues, maybe by 28-29, he figures out a way to be good enough on defense to just like survive, then maybe he would have been able to be a guy who could be like one of your top two players on a title team. Just didn't happen.
Yeah. I mean, even now you would think some of his skills, because he's a smart player, good passer. He can shoot a little
probably,
bit.
Probably his best skill right now is his passing, right?
Yeah. Well, which is funny then, because he'd be the perfect fit on the second unit. You'd have Blake Griffin. But then again, to your point, it's taken away Wiseman's minutes as that guy that should be there. But then it's like, don't you think coming out of the break, James Wiseman, and we'll get to this on Sunday's pod. We have a fun second half preview pod coming. But like, that's I think, kind of Wiseman's role, right? That you want. And maybe he's a starter. Maybe Wiseman's a starter. But either way, yeah, moving forward, Blake Griffin, not a great fit on the Warriors today, because you're trying to get people around him to be better, the younger guys versus a 32-year-old or whatever he is. He's got like 50-year-old knees, though. Gotta be.
Yeah. And I'm sitting here and I'm just, so he's going to the Nets. Let's talk about the Nets here. Let's have a little fun with our old friend, Kevin Durant. It just dawned on me. I feel like the Nets' only motivation is spiting blog boys online. Like, I feel like their entire thing is, you know how people are like, oh, they can't defend. Yep. Oh, they're all too selfish to play together. They can't work. And you and I both know it's not that they can't. It's that there's maybe skepticism that they won't. Like, we know KD, Harden, and Kyrie can play enough defense if they want to. We know they're skilled enough to figure out how to play together if they want to. I feel like their whole thing is just trying to spite people who are like making these like statements saying like, they're going to be selfish. Harden's not going to pass the ball. Kyrie's going to dribble in circles, stuff like that. And I kind of love it.
Yep. I was going to say that's amazing. And it makes sense. KD's that way. Kyrie's that way. I don't know if Harden's that way, but it's just perfect. It's just who they are. I think also the funniest part, Sam, with this, the spiting is that they're almost doing it in the way that they view basketball, right? Because I think a lot of the times, in terms of like even like how the Warriors view basketball, which is more like, hey, let's work together, let's pass, let's cut, let's defend. They don't care. Kyrie does none of those things. Harden does none of those things. KD does, but he'll act like he doesn't. And then it directly shows on Team Durant and All Star. I'm looking at his roster, and I was watching them yesterday. Sam, they drafted Kyrie, Harden, obviously. Then you got Kawhi. You've got Bradley Beal, you've got Devin Booker, Zach LaVine, Julius Randle. You've basically just got the AAU
buckets on buckets, man. Steve Kerr is turning over in his grave.
And the funniest part is like it's an incredible lineup because these guys are incredible players. But then like my favorite is LeBron. It's like LeBron because LeBron knows he's got Steph, Jokic, Doncic, Giannis. He's got shooters, cutters, unselfish players. He's got like an actual team, right? Versus Durant, you've just got the isolation all-stars.
Well, I think that's
it just makes so much sense.
I think that's interesting about the Nets. I truly think KD believes
you can
be taught to cut and pass. You can't teach skill, or like you have skill or you don't. And maybe that's because he was able to teach himself to do all those things. Like KD has no problem passing. He has no problem cutting. Like, and he that's not a skill. He thinks that you can't probably teach. You can teach someone to be aware and to cut. You can't teach someone to cross someone over and do some of the stuff that Kyrie does. Right. Yeah, like that's kind of, and maybe that's like a romantic mindset or anything, but I'm loving watching it. You know, the other thing I've noticed with the Nets that's driving me a little crazy is, how much do they look like the Phoenix Suns, and how different does Mike D'Antoni Phoenix Suns?
I was going to say.
And like they look much more like Nash's Suns than like D'Antoni's Rockets with the ball movement. And Harden is, I mean, he's still foul baiting when he can, but like it's less of that, like I'm going to dribble at the top of the key for 30 seconds. And I'm watching like Kyrie set screens for Harden, leading to him cutting and some cool off ball action. I'm like, that's exactly what Harden and Steph would have looked like if they traded for Harden.
Oh, and here we go.
And you know, just another reminder, talent's talent. Talent can play different in different situations.
I was going to say, that's probably the broader point here is that if you're going to disagree with what KD has to say, it's probably going to be, if you have enough talent, you're going to win. Doesn't really matter. Like if you want to play the Warriors way, you're going to win because you have the talent, whether it just be Steph Clay Dre and KD. And then if you're the Nets, yeah, you're playing a different style, but you're going to win because you have three of the most talented players of all time, especially offensively. So it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. As long as they're bought in, it doesn't matter what the system is, in my opinion, as long as they're bought into the system.
Right.
KD was bought into the Warriors system in 16-17. Best team I've ever seen. Whew. By year 2019, not sure everyone was all bought in.
Still
won.
They
won on talent, but they were a lot more vulnerable because not everyone was on the same page at all times.
Yeah. Yep. So I think that comes back down to it. And we find it to do it even in an emergency podcast, Sam. It's that, hey, the system can be great, but it's always talent first in the NBA. I think you're even seeing it sometimes in, I think the only time this doesn't make, actually, it's everywhere. I was going to say baseball, football, basketball. I'm not a soccer guy as much as you are, But like all of these, it's just, it's talent, man. The system can help and it can unlock some guys, but end of the day, you never go system over talent. It's always, always, always talent.
Talent first, second, buy-in, third, system. And buy-in and system go hand in hand, but like we're seeing it, we've seen it with the Warriors where you see talent wasted because it's not bought into the system. And that's what's frustrating, because you kind of have to build your system about around what players want to do to a degree, right? Like the Warriors system is somewhat built around Steph, the way Steph likes to play, but Steph's versatile enough that you can tweak it as much as you want to work with other things. Maybe someone like James Wiseman, not as versatile. He has talent. He has a lot of talent, but there are certain ways to make him feel better and play better than what they're doing. And like you said, yeah, like the Warriors didn't trade for James Harden. I don't think you or I ever thought they were going to, quite frankly, I don't think the front office would have been okay giving up picks in 2028 for James Harden. Like, I just don't, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's pointless, but like they would have worked. The idea that it wouldn't have worked in a system is BS. They would have tweaked it. It would have worked. The talent would have been too much. You have the two best guards in the NBA. They are the two best guards, Steph and Harden, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And good luck guarding that, man.
Yeah. So let's wrap it up here. I think it would be interesting to see. I think the funniest part of this is would be Blake Griffin coming back and being like Nick Batum and just showing up on Brooklyn and just incredibly fit and just dunking left and right, right? Shows up dunking on a Kia or a Hyundai or whatever, and just looks incredible the moment he shows up in Brooklyn.
Hasn't dunked since, like, I don't know, since Obama was president, but... you know, now he's back. You know, I was thinking Batum, like all of a sudden he's passing and hitting corner threes at 50%.
like that's what I'm saying, right? Like it would be hilarious. And that's kind of the, I don't know, maybe that's kind of the NBA today, but I think that's the funniest part of this. So we'll wrap it up here. We'll be back on Sunday and Tuesday. We got a special guest, Sam, on Tuesday. So we'll see you guys soon.
I think a guest you guys will appreciate. All right. If you didn't get a chance, check out our post-game pod, after the Suns game. It's also in this feed. And yeah, a couple pods coming up after the All-Star break.